Good evening, sisters and brothers. Welcome to the town hall. And I thought that especially with so much going on in the various divisions, unfortunately, right now we've got more urgency on our bankruptcy at American. So I'm going to spend most of my time on that. Again, this is James Little, International President, and these town hall briefings obviously will be covering other messages other than bankruptcy if we ever get out from under bankruptcy. But I wanted to, first of all, thank you all for joining the briefing, and I will do my best to do just that, to try to keep it as brief as possible. By now, all of the voting notices and instructions have been mailed out for the 11-13 contract ratification on the company's last, best, and final offer. And I want to cover tonight a couple of the items, especially areas where there seems to be quite a bit of confusion. You know, this upcoming vote is your chance to decide the next step for our organization. You're the ones that need to decide, and it's your right to vote either way, yes or no. And there's no subliminal messages. There's no subliminal to vote yes or subliminal to vote no. This whole particular issue on the vote came about back in December when we discussed it with the IEC. As you probably remember, those who've been around, when Gerard Arpey came to the table back in 2008 and he made a proposal for an 18-month agreement, the members never had a chance to have that in front of them to vote on it. And from that point, the IEC felt going into this process, especially bankruptcy, especially that it's affecting so many lives either way, none of the outcome is good. Whether you vote on the last, best, final offer, or the judge goes ahead and rejects our agreement, none of it, all of it is devastating, and what we have to manage is how we go forward with it. So let me kind of give you the process again. I've done this before, the mailing's out there, but there's a few things that you really need to know. One, for instance, if you haven't received a mail packet, at least by the 10th, I would suggest that you give a call to our help desk, and that's posted on our internet, by the way, and you can go right on to our main internet, and that information is there, but it's 817-282-2544. That's 817-282-2544, and they've also set up a special vote email address that you can contact them at votevote@tw.org, and they will answer your questions. The voting opens at 0001 on May 10th, and it will close at 11:59 Central on May 14th. And this is a very short window, and we're actually hoping that we could have got that extended. But we obviously were in the court process, and according to our attorneys, that they're still going to try to see if we can move that if the judge's agreement. But otherwise, we're going to be locked into that date. As you know, we enter trial on May 14th. One of the questions that's came up specifically since all of the communications that have been out there on US Air and the possibility of US Airways putting in a merger application or trying to take a run at American Airlines. And as you know, there's been a lot of communications by the three unions because we entered this process. We decided that we would work on it together. And that being such, we have been able to secure some agreements with US Air should they do a hostile takeover, and some of those provisions are marked and they're up on the website. But none of the US Air has any impact whatsoever on what's going on in American Airlines and for the vote that's before us. And I want to talk a little bit about that vote, because once you make the decision, that decision we're going to go forward as an organization. If you voted in, and you vote in the company's last, best, final offer, then that'll be overlaid in our current agreement, and we will be there in a six-year agreement. If it's voted down, and then it goes to the judge, and the judge rejects it, that does not mean that we don't have a union on the property, just like the pilots or the flight attendants or the APA, APFA. TW is still a bargaining agent. The company, not the judge, because a lot of confusion there. The judge does not have the ability to go in, and he actually said that in his opening. I was in the courtroom on that opening day, and he made it perfectly clear to the response to the attorney for the flight attendants who was giving his opening statement. And the judge made it clear that in front of him, he had a motion to reject, which has its own standard. And I'll quote what he said, is if I reject the contracts, it's not my job to impose anything. So it's not his job to impose it. It's his job to reject it. And the company, American Airlines, has made it perfectly clear to us that what they plan on implementing is their March 22nd agreement. And they're not going to touch the other parts of the contract, and therefore we would be negotiating somewhat under Section 2 as if it was a first contract, although it's not a first contract for us, as we all know. We've got contracts that are going back to the 40s. But nevertheless, it would be treated as such, and we get into that process. And then the question comes up, which I've had personal emails asking me the question, and I think it's been brought up at some of the meetings, does that mean we're free to strike? And that's another process in itself, because now we're under the Railway Labor Act. We're going to be going through a process. And quite frankly, the National Mediation Board has not been quick to release any of us, even despite the fact that they had a blue ribbon panel after the debacle on Amtrak, where it was 10 years before they finally was able to release us. We ended up, in this particular case, we're going to end up in the same posture. My concern is that we're going into a presidential election, and despite the fact that the NMB can make decisions on their own, quite frankly, from the discussions I've had with external parties, the administration is not that keen to let this process move forward, and we end up in a PEB. So we're just going to go through probably another protracted process, and we're prepared to do that. This is despite what anybody says, and they're throwing out all these personal attacks and accusations and facts and miscommunications, and it's not going to change the fact that we're going to continue to meet our obligation to put the information out to our members and make sure that they have what they need to make a decision, despite the fact that it's a tough decision to make. Attacking each other is not going to fix any problems. If anything, they're focused their attentions in the wrong directions. You know, we've had to engage in a purposeful campaign of disinformation that's been out there. So we've been trying to correct some of that because it's just flat wrong. I mean, I think members have the right to make their decision. But let me get into a little bit about some of the areas that I think are still misleading, and especially if the judge abrogates the agreement. As I said, if that does happen, the 11-13 overlap on our agreement, at which time we will begin negotiations under Section 2. And what seems to be somewhat less understandable is the rejection of the contract in court. The company is still required to, as I mentioned earlier, to recognize the TWU, APA, and APFA. And the locals have asked about the dues, and there's been various people saying that this is the number one item. Well, I can assure you it's not. 70% of our dues go to our locals, and 30% comes to the international. The company did not seek to ask to alter any of those provisions. They were only going to be implementing what they judge and what they applied to the judge that they would be imposing on our groups. So don't be misled. Read the information for yourself, discuss it with your families, and be able to make an informed decision, because there is no good decision that comes out of this thing. It's just basically where we want to go and where you think is the best for you. There's a lot of number of new questions that have come up, and a lot of them that we've had our staff send them into the company. We've gotten a lot of those answers. I'm not going to go through all the questions and answers. There's probably about 30 of them. A lot of it's in dealing with the Standinstead, COBRA coverages. It's dealing with the some of the 1114 process. But let me just touch on that 1114. You know, one of the conversations I've had with the company, because it came up from time to time, is on this pre-funding, and the company has now agreed that they will reimburse. Of course, they have to reimburse the employee portion plus interest, but they're also going to reimburse the company's portion with interest on it, and that would be applied. But it won't be applied till after the 11-14. So the employee portion will be within 120 days of date of signing, the company wants to go ahead, and that's what they're going to request to the court, is that they can refund that money, and because that's in each individual's account per employee, and that will be released as soon as we know what the details of the 1114, because there's a lot of pieces of the 1114 that's going to apply, especially on the medical pieces. As you know, the health care costs are very extreme, and even these both of these proposals, whether it's the rejected contract or the final best offer, still keeps our proposals, our cost at the 21% level, which is extremely high for a lot of our people, and especially our retirees, which are going to be paying well over $1,000 for a husband and spouse to even afford it. That was when we get into this discussion with US Air. One of the things that we asked them to do was to reduce that cost and bring it back down to around 7%. Of course, it's still a long shot because we don't know how that's all going to be successful. But we do know that probably we won't have any decision made on anything that's going to happen with US Air until after the 1113 process goes in place and after the 1114, because there's no time on that. Plus, the judge has a court-mandated time frame that he's going to make his decision by June 6th. So that being said, we'll deal with that issue when it comes up. You know, I mentioned about the right to strike, and I mentioned about the NMB. Those are areas that we're still going to have to fight on, and we're going to have to put whatever pressure necessary to get a release should we get into a contract bargaining, and that's the direction our group wants to go. The one area that seems to be more and more confusing to an awful lot of our members, and it's been brought up from time to time, both at the in the local level and also some emails that we've gotten, is if there is a hostile takeover, not necessarily US Air, but someone else, what happens? And it depends on what happens with our agreement. If the contract is rejected by the court, then the provision that the company never asked to change, which has really got to do with our integration process, will not change. So we'll still argue that point, and plus, even if our contract is rejected, we're still going to argue the point that some of those concessional pieces should remain intact. Of course, the company doesn't have to honor that at all. So it's going to be some new ground for us. I mean, there's some history that goes back to Frontier. There's some history that goes back to Northwest. But a lot of that has not really it's not longer taking the position that it's going to be ironclad in this process, because this particular court is going to be making its own decisions, and none of that is a precedent setting, although the judge said that they will look at it, but he didn't say that. They said that it happened in our Second Circuit when the questions came up, and the answer was no, and he really didn't pay a lot of attention to it. So the answer to that is that we're going to have to be fighting those battles as we go forward, just like we fought the battles before. Nothing's changed. I put out a video that was trying to give a little backdrop as to why we're in this process, what we're voting on. I hope you take a chance to read it, to actually watch it. It's got a lot of good information on it. As I said, we're not recommending a decision whether to vote yes or no, because it's such an important decision for you and your families. All I ask is that you be educated on it, and that you take the time to read the information. The full text of the information is available online, don't just base all your decisions on those side by sides. Take a look at the full text and see how that affects you. If you think it's in your, if it's a value to you to make a decision one way or the other. As we move forward. And I know that there's going to be an awful lot more information that's being put out there and trying to challenge individuals to make decisions. Again, I can't emphasize enough, don't vote yes just because people are pressuring you into voting yes, and don't vote no because it's just people are pressuring you to vote no. Really spend the time, look at the information, because as you all know, we've been through this thing for a number of years trying to negotiate it with a contract with American Airlines. You know that we managed to do it down during the 2003. We were impacted by the timeline, and yet we've been going through this protracted negotiations, and now we're in the process of bankruptcy filings as of November. even though we had TAs out there, which you heard me mention before. So it's very frustrating. It's very easy to get mad over the situation, and it's very easy to take your venom out on just about everybody, and you certainly have the rights to do that. But you really need to focus it and really make a decision that is going to be the best for you and your family. All those packages that we sent out there have some information on it just to help you be able to make a decision that'll be your decision. And I wish I had some magic information for you to tell you, look, you know, if you just do this, things will be better, because it's not getting any better in the future. Anything that we do going forward is going to require complete solidarity for the groups. You know, the pilots and the flight attendants and the TW, we've been in constant communications with each other. We just talked again last week. In fact, both President Bates and President Gladding brought up that the last hearing with the judge in his chambers with the attorneys last week had told the parties that they strongly suggested that they sit down and try to reach an agreement before he has to make a decision. I don't believe that's a threat. I think he's just saying that, you know, if I make a decision, my decision is only going to be to abrogate. It's unfortunate that is the way the process is. And it's unfortunate that we can't get a court that actually takes the time to evaluate where we've been, what we've done, and all the nuances that our members have given over the years to try to make this company solvent and to move forward and be able to do all the things that they promised us they were going to do. And so, yet we're taking the burden, because the court then is making the decision that the best way through this process is to grant the motion that the company's asked for and to give them the total relief that they're asking, regardless of whether they're evaluating the relief is what they need or is it more than what they need. So that's the troublesome part of this thing, is that we end up perhaps having to give more than necessary in order to make the companies what they say is what their need is to move forward. There's nothing we can do about that, because all we can do is argue it. Now, we're prepared to go forward. I've seen some of the correspondence going back and forth, our attorneys and their staff, and the various consultants that we've hired are participating in getting us ready for the court process. You know, that begins on the 14th, and our attorneys are prepared to aggressively challenge where we can. And I'm sure that's no different from the other unions on the property, because they've been discussing the case between all the parties moving forward. And I don't think there's much difference in the arguments that are going forward. I think we all believe that our members have sacrificed quite a bit over the years. And during those sacrifices, including the various changes that we've made at the workplace, where we're entitled to some of that valuation in the company's deliberation, and we would hope that the court would deliberate that rate on that also. But obviously, that is not the process that we're faced with. There's a couple of questions I did want to answer that seems to be the ones that are repeating themselves over and over again. I did mention about the pre-funding. The one that seems to always be popping up is why would the TW agree to the last best offer? Well, we have not agreed to the last best offer, because we don't have a tentative agreement. What we have is the company filed their March 11-13 with the court, and our negotiating committee sat down and tried to mitigate as much as possible and try to change the dynamics of what the company was putting forward, and trying to put it in such a way that worked better for the locals, better for their own membership and their locales. But unfortunately, it's still not a good deal. So we could not go out and recommend to our members, look, we think you should vote this in. We think that this is the best opportunity for you. And that's why it's not a lack of not wanting to make a decision. It's a lack of making sure that the company does not abrogate the agreement in such a way that makes it even more devastating to a number of people. And a lot of people don't like the idea that, you know, we're trying to save jobs. But if you're one of those people that are not impacted by job loss, then it's very easy to make that decision. If you're a person by it, then you want to try to save your job. And a lot of these are very skilled jobs, and a lot of them are jobs that that you just don't walk out of the airline and walk into another job making the same salaries. A lot of us who came through the airlines decided that it was going to be a short term, ended up being careers, and so we all know that. So that being said, we will just have to continue and hope that the members make whatever decision they do make, and I will support that. And that's the direction that I wait. I mean, I've said it before, it's your union, and I wait your direction, and when you make that decision, we will go forward, and we'll put whatever resource we have to in order to defend our members' rights. So a question that came up about the 401k, and one of the asks was, on the pre-funding that we get, does that go directly into the 401k? And no, that is not possible because there's some legalities on that and the way that the pre-funding was applied. So that we did find that out because that came up more and more time and time again asking that question is, well, you know, what happens to that? And as I did mention, the pre-funding will be out within 120 days of the date of signing, at least your term. I would like to say we'd have all the answers for our retirees because I know a lot of people are waiting to try to make a decision. You know, should I take the early out? What happens if I do? Am I still going to have medical care? And those are answers that we just can't give because the 1114 process is not going to take place now until after we get through the 1113 that we're in now. But the time frame is moving. The judge is moving the process as quickly as possible. I was hoping to do a question and answer during this call, but obviously we don't have enough time. We don't have the ability to set that up in a more timely manner. So what I'm going to do is I have a number of questions and answers in front of me, and rather than go back and read them all, I think it's better served if we just post them on the Internet. And so I'll ask that you go back onto the bkfacts.org, take a look at those questions and answers. They may be able to answer some of the questions that you have. If you don't, just continue passing them along. We will try to get them answered. Either through the company if it requires their answers, or through our legal if it's a legal answer. But the one area that I keep harping on is we certainly need answers for our retirees. A number of emails that I did get, I'm trying to remember all of them, but one email that I did get specifically asked, you know, what happens if four contracts are accepted and three aren't? How is that applied by the court? Are they all rejected, or does some go in? And it's exactly what happens. If four are accepted, then those four will be put in place, and the other three then would be required to us to go into that Section 2 process where we would be negotiating, as I said before, it's somewhat like a first contract with some of the provisions that the company will applied, and then we will have to negotiate from that point. They're not going to impose the consensual agreement because there was some questions that came out. Hey, if I vote yes or no, it doesn't really matter because the court is only going to apply the last and best final offer, and that is just not the fact. The fact is the company will impose the March 22nd, and that applies to all three contract groups. You know, we have on some of the upside, because some of the upside has not all been determined yet, where we're still trying to get a claim with the company. They've said no. We're still trying to get an answer to that. If they are successful through the process to make that change, then that will be applied as well. We also have a Me Too with the other groups on there to make sure that somehow our members, because we're voting through this process, something doesn't change, which was something that we had not planned on. And so with that, it would be applied to our agreement. So I know I'm a little long-winded, and I don't have a script, so I'm trying to remember as much as possible of what is important for you to try to make a decision. And all I can really say is just let me recap a couple of things. Go back on the website. Go through the Q&As. There may be a question or an answer in there that really meets your needs and answers the question that you have in your mind or that your mind of your family. You know, this has been a very tough process for everyone. Every time we think that we're moving a little bit forward, it seems that we slide a little bit backwards, and that a lot of that is true because of the laws we have in this country, and we love our country dearly, but I think there's a there's got to be a time where we can put pressure and try to get these things changed. Maybe that's the message we have to give to those who are asking for our support to get elected. What are their position on some of this stuff? Are they talking about reform to balance the fields just because the company decides that they want to go into bankruptcy and gut a contract? Should that be allowed to happen without any consequences or accountability, not just because the company's saying they need it? So with that being said, I know you have a lot of tough decisions to make. There's material that you probably haven't got all of it yet, but there are Q's and A's in there. We'll continue to start continue to answer questions at the local levels. I got some calls today from a couple of locals asking me some answers, which I don't even have the answers because I'm reading the information just like you are, and I have to defer to the people that were at the table. But I think a lot of your presidents, probably 90%, have the answers that you need. If they don't, then we can certainly get it for them because, you know, you can't have the answers to everything as much as we try to get all that. So tough decisions to make, guys. I know this is tough on our members. I know it's put a lot of pressure on the families. It will still put pressure on the families, and even after the decision is made, we're going to have to live with it and try to work through it. But I can tell you that whatever decision you make, good or bad, with for it or against it, we will still go in the direction that you're asking us to do. I'm not going to change our position. I'm not going to be blindsided by someone saying that they shouldn't be out for a vote. Democracy should be held. It should be out for a vote. You have the right to make that decision. And whatever it is, we will live by it. God bless you all, and I hope to talk to you soon. Thank you all. Good evening.